Welcome to the Unraveled podcast. My name's Alina.
And my name is Nina. And today I wanted to talk about home inspections. So okay. The importance of them, understanding them.
Okay.
Why you have to get them and all that. So working with a lot of different buyers, I find a lot of people don't understand why it's important to get a home inspection. They don't want to pay that cost because technically you don't know if you're going to purchase the home quite yet.
Sure.
Sometimes, you know, it's maybe still a due diligence period. So they don't want to spend the $300 to $600 to get an inspection. Mm-hmm. And then I have buyers that they just don't show up to the inspection. They don't ask the inspector any questions. And in your experience, when it comes to inspections, how important is it to buyers? Let's say, especially first-time home buyers, if it's somebody who's only buying 1 to 3 houses in their life. So you're not talking about an investor or a flipper.
Sure.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm going to always advise an inspection to some capacity, like do something, inspect something. Mm-hmm. But in general, like hire a home inspector who specializes in inspecting homes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand it's a cost. It's going to cost you between $300 to $600, depending on the size of the home. Mm-hmm. But I would much rather you spend that kind of money than spend 10 grand on an HVAC or another 10 grand on a roof or another $1,000 on a hot water heater because you didn't do your due diligence and you didn't inspect those things. Mm-hmm. To spend that little bit of money with to ensure that either you can have the seller fix some things or get compensated in some way, I think it's 100% worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Technically, could you get an inspection and then the contract falls through? Yes. And you mm-hmm. will not be getting that money back.
Right. But at that point, at least you've guaranteed that there is an issue at the house mm-hmm. that you clearly cannot negotiate to make that decision to terminate before you proceed with buying a house mm-hmm. and ending up with all of these issues. Because it happens. I have had clients that refuse to get a home inspection and then they call me after they move in. Oh, there's this issue, there's this issue and this issue. And I said, I'm sorry. There's not very much I can do at this point. I advise you to get a home inspection. You chose not to. And this is quite frankly, the repercussions of that, you know, and it's not that the seller is being deceptive a lot of the times, sometimes things happen after you move in, like it's just mm-hmm. inevitable sometimes. And the seller's responsibility is to disclose as much as they know. And that's what they do 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. It's their responsibility to do that, but it doesn't mean the house is perfect. And that there could be issues that they didn't even know about and that yeah. they could have been discovered in the home inspection and negotiated to that point. Mm-hmm. But you didn't get a home inspection for us to even get to a negotiation part of it. So,
yeah. I mean, technically, like you said, there could be things that they don't know about. Mm-hmm. They could also be lying. I mean, there's countless lawsuits where that's the case. So having a professional True. Look at it is very important. Now, you got to be careful when you hire someone to inspect the home, though, because there are some companies that they'll do the inspection and then they also do remodeling and repair. And so they'll give you some kind of mm-hmm. crazy price estimate of what all these repairs will cost. As an example, they'll say, hey, all of these repairs cost $15,000. Mm-hmm. But if you hire us, we'll do it for the low, low price of mm-hmm. $7,000. So they're really exaggerating to their own benefit. So be cautious of those companies.
Which I also believe they're not allowed to do that. I'm pretty sure home inspectors aren't allowed to do repairs.
It's like a sister. It's the same company. So it's the same owner, mm-hmm. but a different company.
So that's how they get around it.
It's kind of like a gray area. And so just be cautious of that. Like if the person who is trying to get the job is claiming they can do it for this amount, but it's going to cost this mm-hmm. amount elsewhere, just take that with a grain of salt. And certain items are not big deals. That's the other thing. So I've had clients that we get an inspection done and they freak out if we get a 50-page report. Well, some of these items are so small and very cheap to repair that we don't even, I mean, obviously it's something that needs to be done, but don't even focus on that. You know, mm-hmm. if it's a little bit of interior paint that needs to be done, or if it's a light switch cover that needs to be replaced, or, you know, mm-hmm. certain little things, we can add that all up and it's going to be not
Correct.
Much.
Correct.
Versus cracks in the foundation, the roof mm-hmm. is leaking in five mm-hmm. different places, the rafters mm-hmm. are rotting out. I mean,
that's different. And also, you go back and negotiate those things. You yes. don't just walk away.
Yes.
Unless you cannot negotiate those things. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to be aware of the situation. Okay, let's see what we can do. Because 9 times out of 10, if we're talking big concerns, any buyer's going to have those concerns. Mm-hmm. So that's when you go back to the seller and say, hey, like, these are the concerns my client has. I would imagine that most buyers would have these same concerns. Mm-hmm. Is there something that we can do to work this out? Can we do compensation? Can you get these things fixed? And 9 times out of 10, it's going to resolve itself out. Like, they're, most of the time they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. But also depends on what you've already offered them and a lot of different factors like that. But you go back and you try to negotiate, you try to work those things out before you throw the towel in and call it a day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you briefly said earlier something about like the buyers going to the inspection. Do you advise your buyers to go to the inspection?
So I advise them, if they can, at least come to the final hour.
That's what I do too.
Because now there's some buyers that want to come to the whole thing and that's fine. I will be there regardless.
So you go to the home inspection. Yes. You go to every home inspection. I don't go to any of them. And well, so, you know, everybody has their own preferences. People do what they want to do.
Well, so I work with buyers and sellers, but technically I don't go to every home inspection. If it's an investor, I don't go.
Sure.
If it's somebody who they know,
like a first time home buyer, that kind of thing.
You know, okay. If the house is vacant, it's an investor buying it, then that's a bit different. But if it's a first time home buyer or somebody that this is just going to be their second or third home, you know, they don't really, this is not their expertise. They don't know I'm going to be there for them. And normally I'm just working because an inspection is going to be 3-4 hours long.
Correct.
And so if they can come for the last hour, that's helpful. Now, if they're out of the state or out of the city, obviously they can't come.
Sure.
I'll do a video call with them. They can talk to the inspector. But I mean, you get that report. You can call the inspector after and ask some questions.
Correct.
But some buyers, they just cannot be bothered. And I had to be the one to highlight, hey, look at these different items. Let's mm-hmm. try to ask for this. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we didn't know that's a problem. Mm-hmm. I promise you, when you're living in the home, you'll figure out it's a problem real quick.
Right, right. But then that's where you hire a good agent and they advise you properly. Mm-hmm. So I do the complete opposite. Well, I wouldn't say complete opposite. So I advise my buyers to not go to the inspection. I advise them to go, if they're going to go towards the end. Mm-hmm. Because what I've seen happen before numerous times is that the buyers are following the inspectors around, which is that's how you think you would want to do it. They're following mm-hmm. the inspector around.
The inspection takes 7 hours.
That, but also the inspector is distracted by the buyer being there asking questions over mm-hmm. their shoulder, that the inspector begins to miss things.
Yeah.
And the other day, when you're paying for an inspection, the job for the inspector is to inspect the home. Mm-hmm. And it's easiest for them to do their job without any outside forces distracting them from doing their job. So I tell them, I advise you to not go to the inspection. Mm-hmm. And if you do want to go towards the end, the last few hours, and the inspector will recap everything and walk you through it mm-hmm. versus you being there on top of them. And they risk the possibility of missing some things because you're distracting them, asking questions, following them around. And we don't want that to happen. We want them to catch every single thing as possible. Mm-hmm. That's what I typically advise. I don't go to the inspections. I don't see there's any value or any point in me being there. When I get the report, I'll look at the report, call the inspector if I need to, and go over certain things with them. But other than that, I don't go to the inspections.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be sitting there working the entire time. I can do that at home. I can do that at my office. And if there's questions and concerns that I have, I'm going to address it with the inspector. And most of the time, the inspector's already calling me before the inspection. They're calling me after the inspection. We've already talked through a lot mm-hmm. of the things, a lot of the logistics, a lot of the concerns before he's even sent me the report. Mm-hmm. So I've already had that communication before, after, during, all of that, mm-hmm. To be well aware, make notes, be prepared when the report comes in to have that conversation with my client. Mm-hmm. And then shifting out of the need for an inspection. What are we looking for in the inspection report? So one of the things that the top three things I'm personally looking for is structural, hazardous, and safety. Mm-hmm. Outside of all of that, I feel like everything's cosmetic, tiny things that can be fixed, mm-hmm. maybe preventative things that can be fixed. But those are the most important things that I'm typically looking for on behalf of my client. I'm looking at inspection reports all the time. I've seen 15 million inspection reports. And as a buyer, I'm aware of that. So I'm aware that I look at a lot of inspection reports. So my perspective is going to be a little different than an everyday buyer, because you don't see a lot of this stuff. So sometimes as a buyer, you don't know what you're looking at. You don't know what's concerning. You don't know what's not concerning. Mm-hmm. I've had a buyer say, oh, I want them to fix everything on this report. And I'm like having to reel them back in. And I'm saying, I had to reel them back in. And let's be practical. They're not going to fix everything on this report. But why don't we hone it down to these three things mm-hmm. to figure out what's important and get them to fix those. Mm-hmm. Because what we don't want them to do is just pick through the easy stuff when we need them to fix the important stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I also, this is a negotiation tip. Mm-hmm. Don't send that whole inspection over unless you really, really want to. Because I mean, people have two different views on this, because then you're showing your entire hand. Because some of the items, let's say it's a 50 page long report, you're not probably asking for all those things, but some reports do come back pretty good. And right. so you're asking for most of what's on the report because it's a pretty clean inspection. You don't necessarily want the other party to know that. You just want them to be able to negotiate with what you're asking for. So that's usually will take screenshots of the different sections that we're asking for. So they don't know if we got a 20-page, 10-page, or 100-page sure. report. And 9 times out of 10, there is some negotiation opportunity, whether it's a seller credit or, you know, them doing the repair by a certain time frame. But there's always value there. In a few circumstances, a few times, the contract will terminate. Or even a seller might say, hey, I'm not doing anything. But then at least as a buyer, you have all the information you need to moving forward. Correct. At the very least, even if it's not all, because, you know, technically the home inspector is human and he could have missed something here and there. But you have a much better idea now about the condition of the house, the potential future repairs, and how much you're going to have to save to get those things done.
Sure. I think as an agent, it's so important to make sure that when you're drafting those, like the ATAC, the amendment to address concerns, and you're addressing those concerns with your, with the other party, that you be as detailed as possible.
Yes.
I have had so many agents, I kid you not, that get so lazy when it comes to that part and they're not detailed about the repairs. And honestly, I don't give a shit if you send me an undetailed repair, a repair list, because I'm going to go with what it says. And that's not my problem that you didn't represent your client very well for being very detailed. And there has been so many times that they have screwed over their clients in a transaction because they weren't detailed enough. And as a seller, you know, as someone like me who's representing the seller, it's not my job to make sure that you put what you needed to put in there. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to do my best to work it out with you. But also, like, if that's if my client wants to, because at the end of the day, you failed to specify what you wanted done. I've had agents send me ATACs, amendment to address concerns, and they're like, oh, fix the washer and dryer. What are we fixing? What, like, can you be a little more detailed? Fix the siding. What part of the siding? What are we talking about? Like, and
send a screenshot or a highlight, or if you don't send a screenshot, write down notated on page,
Is exactly what I do. And that way you know exactly what you're fixing, where you're fixing it, how it should be fixed, based on exactly how the buyer wants it done.
Because I promise you, if there's a lawsuit down the road and it goes to court, the more clear
you are
and specific you are, the better.
Agreed. Agreed.
The more honest you are, the better. The more detailed you are, the better. So if there's no room for questions, or hey, we don't know what this means. Is it this part of the siding or is it that part of the side? It's like, no, this corner, the right hand corner of the house, west facing, page number, item.
Agreed.
Simple.
Agreed.
But it does take time. You're right. It takes an agent. You have to be diligent. You have to sit down and actually work. Shocking.
I know.
You know?
I know. I had one agent, this was maybe like earlier this year, send me an amendment to address concerns. And they were like, this needs to be fixed. They just, there was basically like water dripping into the crawl space. They were like, this needs to be fixed. My client goes and fixes it. But apparently there was an underlying issue or something like that. There was a reason why it's dripping in the crawl space. I didn't know that. My clients knew about it, but they didn't, I didn't know. So I'm reading the ATAC. This is what I'm assuming is they're just like, they just want this fixed. That's all, that's all I'm thinking. My clients knew about it, but we're talking about a $5,000 repair that needed to be done compared to what the amendment stated. So I told my clients, she didn't ask for that to be fixed. She didn't ask for that $5,000 thing to be fixed. I said, it's up to you if you want to fix it or not, but you don't have to. And they can't walk if you don't fix it. They've got $3,000 earnest money on the line. They're not going to walk over $5,000 repair. If anything, at that point, they'll just fix it. So, and the agent came back and said, hey, if you don't fix it, my clients are going to walk. And I said, my clients don't have to fix it. You didn't specify in your report and your
amendment
what they were fixing. And she was silent for a minute. And she said, I'll get back to you. And then she went and looked at her thing. And I said, I already sent her an email recapping our conversation, just letting her know, like, you know, this is what they wanted. This is what you're asking me to have them fix. And my clients didn't agree to that. I understand there might have been some, I understand maybe that you should have, I understand maybe it should have been added in there, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. My clients don't have an obligation to fix it. Mm-hmm. However, they are willing to negotiate and pay $2,000 of it. Mm-hmm. Because your earnest money is on the line for three. So you can pay the other three. My clients would pay the other two. And we worked it out. Yeah. But the reality is, had you been more specific in your amendment, that would have been negotiated beforehand.
Yeah. And for those buyers, I bet they were thinking, because they lost that because the agent failed to specify. Mm-hmm.
And who knows, they may or may not know it to that extent, depending mm-hmm. on the conversation that their agent would have had with them.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, that, if that was my fault, I would have just taken accountability and said, hey, I would have, mm-hmm. I'll cover it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lose a relationship over something that I made a mistake on. I will take accountability. Mm-hmm. I'll cover it, whatever, yeah. be done with it. I'll try my best to negotiate it. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't have let my clients pay $3,000 for that when I know it was my mistake.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so it's interesting how there's many different ways of looking at it and doing it. Some people attend inspections, some people don't. But the bottom line is,
get one.
You really should get one. Unless you're so confident and you're so experienced, having mm-hmm. bought countless homes, it's well worth it.
Yeah. And I just truly think, too, it's so important for the agents to be knowledgeable on the reports as well. Mm-hmm. Because when buyers are looking at that, 9 times out of 10, they don't know what they're looking at. Mm-hmm. And they're relying on you to advise and guide them. Mm-hmm. This morning, I just had a call with another buyer with about a home inspection report. I'm like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. And I told her, hey, well, I thought this was a really good report. Like, there weren't a lot of concerns in it, especially mm-hmm. for the age of the home. Yeah. It's been well taken care of. And she was silent. I said, so tell me what you're thinking. She said, there's just a lot. And I said, what's a lot? You don't have time to talk about it? Or do you have a different opinion than me? I said, talk to me. She said, I have a different opinion than you. And I said, okay. And she listed what her concerns were. And I said, okay, I can see that being a concern for you. And I said, again, like, the most of the things that I'm looking for may be a little different than you. Everyone has their personal preference on what's concerning for them. But I see a lot of the stuff I'm seeing in this report, I've seen in almost every single report. Like, a lot of the stuff is generic. It's common mm-hmm. in a home that has been lived in or not lived in for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not disregarding your concerns. I think they're valid. I'm just giving you my opinion and this from is something my you're gonna experience.
Face. If you terminate on this one, this is most likely something we're gonna
correct.
Face in another.
Correct. So I didn't even tell her that. I just told her, I would prefer if you call the inspector, because she hadn't spoke with the inspector at this point. So I said, I would prefer that you call the inspector, get a second opinion on it. Because when an inspector does an inspection report, they're listing every single thing they can find and they can think of. Mm-hmm. So what may be concerning, what you may think is concerning, may not really be concerning. It may be general. Mm-hmm. So I would advise you, call the inspector, talk with him about your concerns, get his opinion. This is someone that you hired, utilize him, call him, talk to him about it. Yeah. And then let's circle back in and have this discussion again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and hopefully, did she do that or will she do that?
She's supposed to call him this afternoon.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Talking with the inspector can be very helpful also because, you know,
they see the same thing we see.
Yeah. And that's what they do all day, every day.
Correct.
You know, and so trust, if mm-hmm. you hire, if you surround yourself with good professionals, trust those professionals mm-hmm. to do their job.
Correct. I agree. And at that point, what do you need them for? Yeah. If you're not going to listen to them, you're not going to take their advice, you know?
Well, yeah, I think we've all had a client or two like that.
100%.
Well, I think that wraps up our time for today. Thank you for listening and for watching. We'll put out a new episode next week on Wednesday. You can follow us on social media, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for watching.